exciting.
There we are. From 100 come on, girls.
Real tattoo.
And it's causing big problems, especially at this.
Are, well, what we're doing here is we're dipping into our sister station, Five Live Sports Extra.
Hello, Five Live Sports Extra.
Say hello to all their listeners.
A false start there. So this is the 100 metres final, the women 100 metres final in Delhi. And as I say, there are two English women, Catherine Endicott and Laura Turner. David,
I'm going for Laura. I think Laura's going to. Yeah, I think she's been training very well. I think, and she looks strong. I think she's got it.
On good form. On good form.
Yeah. I think so. She was great in the semis.
David, Laura or Catherine?
I'll go for Catherine. I've always been a fan.
Okay. So both of David's on there.
In other words, come on, Catherine, come on.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take Five Live Sports Extra out, because there seems to be a bit of a delay, and we'll come back to it in just a second. So much tension.
You build it up.
No.
There's an awful lot of antibacterial hand wash in this studio.
Yeah, there is.
Do you have particularly filthy...
You've not been on Richard's show before.
It's what to protect you from me.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right.
You never know where he's been.
That's right. I actually don't know why. There is an awful lot in here, isn't
who's in here before you?
Victoria Derbyshire.
Well, that's the
answer.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Right, they're on the blocks. Here we go.
Third time this evening, ahead of the final of the women's 100 metres at the Commonwealth Games 2010.
Come on,
and
Catherine.
And they're away first time, and it might have been Laura Turner, it might have been Sally Pearson, the favourite. Sally Pearson is the first to turn back, and she puts her hands on her head. She is convinced that it's her problem, and she's making her way now over towards her right as she walks back now towards the starters officials. And also Laura Turner might be in trouble here. There's been so much noise down at the start, and already Pearson looks as though she wants to make some kind of protest, because it was either her or Laura Turner who jumped the gun, and that should mean automatic disqualification.
So Laura Turner, who you backed, David Morrissey, could well be out after that second false start.
Too keen there, I think. Yeah, well, let's wait and see. I don't let's prejudge.
Is that what you get? You get two. It's two strikes and you're out with the false starting.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, we're learning as we're going along here, to be honest. But that is the way it would appear.
As a Five Live anchor, you had to know all their stuff.
I mean, yes, you're right, David, and of course I do.
Of course you do.
Of course,
you're just feigning ignorance to make us look good.
That's right. It's more inclusive to feign ignorance.
Where's that sport man? Get him back in here.
I do find that strange with the sport and news, that whenever I listen to the show, I always think that they're in a different room and that me and David can have a chat and you can have a chat. But actually, it all happens together. So, you know, we have to be very quiet when that's happening. I always find that very weird.
And they slip in the middle of the conversation. You have to blink.
I can tell you that Laura Turner has been disqualified. So
disgrace.
Oh, dear.
That is a disgrace.
That is a real shame. I mean, I guess that is heartbreaking. This is the Commonwealth Games, 100 metres final. You get all the way to the final. You're out there in Delhi and you get disqualified from the final for two falls. That's pretty tough, isn't it?
And there's a lot of noise down there at trackside. I don't think, you know, they're hearing the gun and all that.
That must be a properly, genuinely heartbreaking moment for her. So,
absolutely.
But also for you, David Morrissey, because you backed her. But Catherine...
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, you train for these events for years and years and years, and then, you know, that happens. I think it's pretty off myself.
Right, they're off now.
Oh no, that's a replay.
That's a replay of the last false start. Right, let's talk amongst ourselves.
Sure.
We'll go back to that a little bit later. I'm sure we'll get some sort of result between now and 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, David Morrissey, you are in Thorn, which is a terrific drama on Sky.
Mm-hmm. And David said that about mine.
They are both really good. I mean, they're both really good.
Very different.
You've not seen each other's shows,
no,
actually,
I haven't.
You?
No.
Yours is dark, isn't it? Is it based on roughly
books,
a true story?
It's based on a book. Books called by Mark Billingham. He's got this series of books about this detective called Tom Thorne. And I was doing a film in New Zealand, and it was a film called The Waterhouse, and I had to do a lot of green screen, and it was like pretty boring for an actor green screen, although it was a lovely film. But I just read loads of books, and one of the books I read was Mark's, and then I Googled him, and in one of his interviews he said if it ever came to screen he'd like David Morrissey to play the lead role. So I was like, oh, okay.
Very good.
And then I read the other books and they were brilliant. So
this, if anyone wants, if any writers want you to play a part, just mention you in an interview.
That's the type of tart I am.
Sure. You know, vanity will get you most.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay, now apparently this is a bit confusing. Laura Turner's going to run anyway even though she's got a red card.
What, at the side or something?
Let's hear a bit of the history. Five Live Sports Extra.
And the favourite, Pearson, in lane number 7, the women's 100 metres at the Commonwealth Games 2010. And finally, they get away, and it's a good start by Osayomi, and so too Sally Pearson. Turner is adrift at this stage. Tahija Harrigan also in contention. Sally Pearson finishing strongly, but it's Osayomi. Sally Pearson dips and takes it on the line. 11.28 seconds. It's gold for Australia and for Sally Pearson. After all the rumpers down at the start, she won a reprieve when it looked as though she had full started. Even she believed she'd full started, but she's put it all behind her, and it's gold in the 100 metres to Australia and to Sally Pearson.
She's jumping up and down, Mike. She thinks it's hers, but I tell you what, the Nigerians will be protesting without a doubt. There was definitely some issue with the starting down there, but a very impressive run from Sally Pearson. She clawed back Oladomalo, and it was 11.28 to 11.32 for silver.
Right. There we are. At the very least, that was quite interesting.
Well, it did look like there was quite a lot of confusion around the start there, though, didn't it? I mean, I think there'll be some complaints being lodged.
So neither of the English runners won out of Catherine and Laura. Laura Turner ran. I've never heard of that. She ran anyway, even though she'd got a red card.
Yeah, that is very strange, isn't it?
Because like, I think you were saying, what happens if she wins?
Yeah, if she won that match and won that race, and she was, disqualified, that'd be pretty harsh, wouldn't it?
Oh, she'd see that as some sort of moral victory.
It's like that guy won the Grand National and he was off on his own and everybody else had been pulled back. The whole race had been cancelled. Remember that? And he won it. You know, oh, gosh.
Right, let's talk now. You guys have got to go at three, haven't you? Enough to have 100 questions to get through. Yeah. Let's play a clip of Thorn.
Okay,
because
great.
We haven't played a clip of that, and then we can talk some more and enthuse about it.
Okay.
Here it is.
So, you know, she's got a lot to come to terms with without some 6 foot something.
Three.
Detective standing over her bedside.
Thing is, Dr.
Coben,
we got 3 girls just like Alison. Same bruising, same indications, only they're dead. So if there's any chance that she can communicate, you know.
Well, if she does communicate, it's going to be minimal. And there's no guarantee that she'll remember anything. It's very unlikely that she's going to regain any motor function. She'll succumb to an infection and she'll die in that bed. So I really hope she's not your only line of inquiry. You have to excuse me.
So I picked a clip there that features Natasha McElhone, David Morrissey.
Funny that.
Yeah.
Seriously, she might be the most beautiful person.
All right,
ever lived.
All right. God,
please. He's not leaving it, is he?
So gone. But she is.
You are excellent in this show, and I regret not asking you more questions about you playing the lead role at that launch the other week.
Now's your chance to redress.
I know. But it's a dark show, isn't it, as well? And particularly with the end of this first episode.
Yeah, the main thing that happens in this show is that there's a killer on the loose who we think is just, a serial killer. But actually what he's trying to do is he's trying to put women into a coma, into a locked-in state. And he succeeds with this one person.
Locked-in syndrome, it's called, isn't it? Which was the subject of Diving Bell and the Butterfly, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
and from
managed
that
to
book,
arrive.
Yeah, and all that. And she's in this state. And Thorne has a very complex relationship with this girl. She's the only witness he's got, but obviously he can get no information out of her. And he's quite brutal to her at times.
A point that we've made many times on this show, because Sky One has put so much into drama, is they're really now trying to compete, aren't they? They are putting as much money into their shows as terrestrial broadcasters.
I would say they're not trying, I would say they are. I mean, I think their dramas, from my point of view as an actor, and I produce this show as well, I mean, they've been hugely supportive of this from day one. So, I think good competition is great for everybody. I think if BBC and ITV and Channel 4, if there's another player in the field, that's a really good thing. And for me, they've been criticised for buying in drama in the past, and it's great to see them investing quite heavily in British drama for us.
So Eddie Marson is in there, Aidan Gillen.
Yeah, and Sandra Oh, who comes into the second Scaredy Cat, which is our second story.
Second
as well.
Story. So it's two sets of three, isn't it, as a drama? Yeah. Right, so I would urge you to watch Thorn. I would urge you to watch Single Father, when that is on the television this weekend. Can I say something that does slightly annoy me with dramas at the moment on television, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is sometimes, and this happens particularly at the end of your first episode, mm-hmm. is there's a big cliffhanger, right? And you see the cliffhanger. This used to happen at the end of Doctor Who sometimes as well. And you think, oh, is he going to die? What's going to happen? And then it goes, next time!
Yeah,
and you see that everyone's all right.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the advertising. We moved them to laughter, the credits in the end for that very reason.
But credits as well. Credits really annoy me now because actually people work so hard on dramas. They really work, you know, and you work hard on getting their names up there and then they're shoved to the side of the screen and actually they're just there to trail the next show. And that really annoys me because you want...
You can't read them. It's impossible
A, you
to
can't read them.
Read them,
but B, you know, all the people who worked on them and sometimes the music is something that is taking you on to a next level for those credits and they just get shoved into the corner.
It is a consideration that, though, isn't it, that you sometimes break the tension. I think in the next episode, everyone's really okay again.
Yeah, but then, you know, that's the thing. You're constantly in competition trying to hook people to keep watching, and that's the danger, really.
We're asking on the text study because David Tennant, you wanted to be Doctor Who as a child and you became Doctor Who. We're saying to everyone else, what did you want to be as a child, but what are you now? Some of these are great. Some of them, I think, tinged with sadness as well. Dear Richard, I wanted to be an ice cream salesman. Now I'm a paediatrician, says Jamie in Glasgow. Marcus,
oh,
I wanted
treated
to
up there.
Yeah, yeah, I wanted to be a pilot when I was five. Now I'm a pilot. Happy story, like your Doctor Who story.
Tick, tick.
Sharon says, I wanted to be a cattle driver in the Australian outback. I'm now a kitchen salesman. Michael... You know, she's happy.
Yeah, we don't know what the emotional state of these people is when they make these admissions. This is no...
When I was a young lad, I wanted to be a streetlight cleaner. Now I've grown up and I'm an engineering consultant, but whenever I pass a man cleaning streetlights, I always glance up and wonder what might have been, says Ben in Manchester.
Very good.
It's quite moving.
That's very good.
He just wanted to go up in a cherry picker, that's
all. Yeah. Get up there. He lived on a dark street, that kid.
One day I dream of light.
Cleaner light.
Clean light.
Joe says to David Morrissey and David Tennant, your double act in the TV series Blackpool was gripping television.
Oh, yeah.
Something happened there that transcended ordinary television drama.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Any idea how it happened and have you any stories that exemplify why it was so special?
I have one story that halfway through filming the Blackpool, they showed a little clip of what we've made so far. And David and I, it was a crowded bar that they showed on, and David and I walked out the bar and got in the lift afterwards, and as the door closed, we both turned to each other. We're never going to work again. And we were
what was wrong with it?
Well, it was like a very rough cut and stuff. But I think the
but also it was quite out there. The very, you know, it was quite a high concept thing. We burst into song, and you know,
and you had to have faith in that. You couldn't be shy about any of those routines. And we really jumped in, and Sarah Parrish and David and me, we just decided just to go for it, which you had to do.
Yeah,
but it did become something quite.
And
special,
then it did, and it was great fun.
But it was,
to do.
But even in the edit, there was. I remember the. Do we sing over the songs?
Yeah.
Do we just have the original track, and there was a lot of back and forth to just get the tone just right. I think it could very easily have gone wrong, and then of course they did it in America, where it did go rather badly.
They took
wrong,
all the darkness out of it. I mean, I always thought of the role of Ripley that I played slightly like a Tony Soprano who sang and danced, and also lived in Blackpool. Yeah. But it had that edge. So he was a very unlikable character, but in the end you sort of liked him.
And yeah, which was always, you're right, that's always a confusing relationship you have with Tony Soprano, isn't it?
And Pete Baker's writing, I have to say, was fantastic. Yeah. Great, great line.
Just very quickly, David, before you go, because you made a pilot in America, didn't you, for, I think it was called Rex Is Not Your Lawyer, which didn't get picked up.
Yes.
And I saw an interview with you in the Radio Times where you were talking about that.
Yes.
Most pilots don't get picked up in America,
exactly.
Do they? It's a strange and expensive system that they have.
Yeah.
Do you want to make it in America? Is that your plan? Do you want to make a TV series in America?
When that didn't happen, I made some films there instead. So I don't really think that tactically. I just kind of go wherever the next interesting project comes from.
It's not put you off making, say, another pilot for another American television series.
I think it was interesting to see how that network television situation in America works, and I would go into any other situation with the knowledge I gained. You have to be very careful of what you say.
Do you mean they promised you a lot and gave you the impression that it would happen? And
It's a funny world.
Okay. I understand why you have to be careful and diplomatic. Thank you so much for coming in, both of you.
No,
both
thank
TV
you.
Shows
pleasure.
Are terrific.
I'll bring Natasha McElhorn next time.
Please. or just send her.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thorn is on Sky.
Bombshell.
And Single Fathers on the BBC. Thank you very much. On digital and online.